Alright, so blueprints for spiritual growth, part 4. Are we right? Part 4. Part 5, praise God. Alright. This series you just finished. But there's a lot to say. Part 5. Let's turn our Bibles to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, and I'll start from verse 16. The Bible says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, and so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. For the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, right? Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You know, we've seen this text of the Bible before, and I've shown you how that if you look at the way Paul spoke about the fruit of the Spirit, he didn't speak of them as qualifications for the kingdom. He didn't say, I've told you those who practice love, joy, and peace will enter the kingdom of God. Because what he said in verse 19, those who make a practice of these things, those who have this as a lifestyle, show that they are not in God's kingdom. You know, how do we gain access into God's kingdom? John 3, verse 3. Unless a man is what? Unless a man is what? Born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, verse 22 does not say if you practice long suffering, you'll be in God's kingdom. The reason why you can even walk in all this is because the Spirit of God is within you. Glory to God. The reason why you can practice all this is because you do not belong here anymore. You are not of the world. You know Jesus said that. You are no longer of the world. You are now children and sons of God and sons of the kingdom. But you know, that's just by the way. What I intend to say in this particular portion is how that, now we can start writing. Galatians 5:19. Outside the Spirit, Galatians 5:19, we are writing, outside the Spirit, the only thing left for man are complexities. We are writing. Where's your Bible? Yeah, right. I'm dictating. When I say let's write, we are writing. So outside the Spirit, the only thing left for man are complexities. Complexities. Outside the Spirit, you can't hear me. The only thing left for man are complexities. That's the opposite of simplicity. Complexities. Humans by default are complex. Humans by default are complex. Humans by default are complex. The only thing that bears simplicity in men is the Spirit of God. The only thing that bears simplicity in men is the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So, a walk in the Spirit, the only thing that bears simplicity in men is the Spirit of God. So, a walk in the Spirit is the only guarantee for having a simple lifestyle. A walk in the Spirit is the only guarantee for having a simple lifestyle. A walk in the Spirit is the only thing that guarantees having a simple lifestyle. I'm going to explain this. You know, you could say, there are people who are not born again, who are very simple and all that. See, any simplicity outside of Christ has not met the right opportunity. Have you met people who are very gentle? And then one day, the way they will change it for everybody. Because that gentleness is not by the Spirit. It's just, the person could like badger, he doesn't like trouble and all that. But when occasion arises, when circumstances present themselves, you will see that that person is very complex. Hallelujah. There are people who will not complain about anything you're saying. They are not complaining. They are busy piling up those things and storing them. They are not forgiving you. Don't go and mistake the overlooking for forgiveness. They are just waiting till you have your full, or you know, till your pot is, your bucket is full, and then they come with their full wrath. So the only thing that guarantees simplicity, and the only place we find simplicity, as you know, God has it, as Christ has it, is in the Spirit. So when a believer is not walking in the Spirit, what do you find? You find a complex person, a very difficult to deal with person. Glory to God. Let's write. So if I desire to live like Jesus, if I desire to live like Jesus, if I desire to live like Jesus, I must pursue a walk in the Spirit. If I desire to live like Jesus, I must pursue a walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, I'm going to just to go and preach. We have over 20 sessions, and I've told them, get notepads for everybody. I'm not coming to preach at people. We are coming to study. Glory to God. And we're going to write. Old men, 70, 60, we are going to write class type. Praise God. Otherwise, let's just pray. Glory to God. Alright. So, if I must walk like Jesus, I must pursue a walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, let's write this down. There are five things that hinder spiritual growth. There are five things, or maybe more than five, but let's just write. Five things that hinder spiritual growth. Five things that hinder spiritual growth. One, laziness. Those are the things that prevent men from growing. Anywhere you find these things dominate, forget it. A life characterized by these attitudes can never see progress. Laziness, one. Number two, procrastination. Procrastination, which follows laziness anyway, it assists. You know, when you watch football, you see some people, they are the goal scorers, they are the assist. Those who are into assist. Hallelujah. So, procrastination is the one assisting laziness. Number three, distractions. 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 Number four, excuses. 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 And the last one, idleness. They look alike, but not really. It's a kind of laziness. It's a fruit of laziness. But we're going to see difference. So let's start with laziness. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. These are things that hinder spiritual growth. If you have a lifestyle that features all these qualities, you will not experience progress in spiritual things. The attitude towards spiritual things are characterized by these things, you will never grow. It's not a curse. You will never grow. Laziness. Hebrews 5:11. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 11. Are we all there? Bible says, okay, let me start from verse 10 for context sake. Bible says, verse 9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him, called by God as high priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have much to say and act to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So the writer of Hebrews says, I have much to say about this person, but then you have become dull of hearing. They had to explain, had to be uttered. So, let's write now. Laziness. You are looking at your Bible and you are not seeing laziness in that text. But it's there. You know, verse 12 says, when you ought to have become what? Look into your Bibles. When you ought to have become what? You have need again that one should do what? So, verse 11. What he said in verse 11 is what resulted in his description of them at verse 12. So, at verse 11. Let's write. The word dull is the Greek word notros. The word dull is the Greek word notros. The word dull is the Greek word notros. Notros is spelled N-O-T-H-R-O-S. N-O-T-H-R-O-S. Which means lazy, indolent, sluggish. Notros. It means lazy, indolent, and sluggish. You know, dull could mean stupid, unintelligent, but that's not the case for these guys. It also means to be lazy, indolent, sluggish. That's the same word used that Hebrews 6:11-12. You know, for sluggish. Let's see that. Hebrews 6:11-12. Sluggish or slothful. That's the word notros. Hebrews 6:11-12. And I'll read. Bible says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish or slothful, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So that's the word sluggish or slothful. The man is lazy. Hallelujah. Back to Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Let's keep writing. So, being dull of hearing means to be lazy in what you have heard. Dull of hearing means to be lazy in what you have heard. Hallelujah. To be what? To be what? Lazy in what you have heard. So it's not that these guys were stupid, unintelligent, they can't put fast together. It's the fact that they have an attitude that is so lazy in receiving God's word. In how they receive. They've been taught so much, they are not committed to it. So what did that result into? Verse 12. Let's read again. Hebrews 5:12. Let's read together. For though you ought to be what? By this time you ought to be what? You need someone to do what? So why do people fail to have this mastery when it comes to teaching God's word? Because they were lazy in the things they have been taught. Do you know it takes being a good student to be a good teacher? It's that simple. So if a man is not committed to receiving and is not committed to what he has been taught, he does not continue in it, he fails to develop mastery or skillfulness in teaching the same. Hallelujah. That's the problem. That was the problem with the Hebrews. They were lazy. They were indolent. They were idle in the things they've been taught. They were not committed to it. So, you know, I could say everybody right now, tear a sheet of paper, write some article on salvation. And immediately you see the folks who have not committed, you see them panicking. Ha, salvation. 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 Praise God. You know, we're in a meeting on one of these Saturdays where we were having workers' meeting. And I said, everybody, let's write on the grace of God on our Facebook pages. Just put the banner of the church. And I saw a brother in the midst who had gone to copy something from Google. So when I read what he wrote, and I said, it does not even look like anything we have taught before. It's a contradiction to everything we teach. Where did you, I said this thing, you copied it. He copied it online. This is a church where we have taken our time to do what? To teach and teach and teach and remind people. So men can be in the midst without any commitment. Laziness. Hallelujah. Laziness. And we have people like that in the church. Now, this is not to say the brother is whatever. No, it's just an attitude thing that can be changed and transformed. An attitude problem towards learning. And because we are back to, many of us are back to class. When you graduated from school, for some of you, you swore not to go back to school. And then you joined the church where we now write. Amen. We now study. We will write tests. Glory to God. So you are like, hey, what is all this? And that's laziness. Hallelujah. And it's a major thing that hinders people from making progress in the faith. Look at what the writer of Hebrews, he says, see, we have many more things to say, oh. But because of your attitude, we cannot even make progress. Hallelujah. Look at this now. Let's write. This was why the writer of Hebrews was holding back. This was why the writer of Hebrews was holding back to say more things concerning the gospel. This was why the writer of Hebrews was holding back from saying more things concerning the gospel. Hallelujah. Let's keep writing. The phrase "had to explain." The phrase "had to explain." The phrase "had to explain" can be misleading to mean something difficult to explain. The phrase "had to explain" can be misleading to mean something difficult to explain. The phrase "had to explain" can be misleading or could be misleading to mean something difficult to explain. I mean, because there's nothing difficult in God's word to explain. The gospel itself is called the simplicity of Christ. The gospel is with plain words, plain speeches. So "had to explain," the word "had," let's keep writing. The word had is the Greek word. The word "had" is the Greek word, I'll spell for you. D-U-S-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-T-O-S. N-E-U-T-O-S. That's the word "had." Hallelujah. "Had to pronounce." Glory to God. That's the Greek word "had." You know, it's such a small word, but look at the Greek word. It's so big. Which means "had to be uttered." Imagine one word and it means "had to be uttered." So that's why the KJV renders it that way. We have many things to say, but they are hard to be uttered. It is not the explanation that is difficult. We cannot say it. We can't even tell you because of your state. Because you have not made progress, because you are lazy, we can't be telling you more things. It will only complicate issues. You only, at the end of the day, have piled up information upon information without putting it to use. Glory to God. So that's why he says, when you ought to be teachers, you have need again that one should teach you the very things that are the very first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That is, the writer of Hebrews could not relate with them as mature men. They were still like babies in Christ. Let's write this. The words "milk and solid food," the words "milk and solid food," or "milk and meat," the words "milk and solid food," or "milk and meat," are metaphors for babes and mature people. Metaphors for babes and mature people. Hallelujah. Metaphors for babes and mature people. That is, you are not meant to think there's an aspect of God's word that is meat. There's one that is milk. That's not the stuff intended here. It is because of their state. He calls it meat. We can't tell you more because of your state. You are dull of hearing. You are lazy. Hallelujah. So they are just metaphors. Glory to God. They are just metaphors. Let's keep writing. So laziness is a bad habit to deal with in studying God's word. Laziness is a bad habit to deal with in studying God's word. Laziness is a bad habit to deal with in studying God's word. Now you have to be careful to not build doctrine on things that are sparingly mentioned in scriptures. You know, not build doctrine on them. You don't say there are things that are meat. Where do you find the meat actually? Because he eventually did not say those things he wanted to say. So everything he taught in the book of Hebrews, we now classify them as milk. But you know, the book of Hebrews is what we are studying today for spiritual growth. So it's just a metaphor for people's state, the babe and the mature. So laziness is something to deal with in your journey for spiritual growth. Let's see some proverbs on laziness. Some of them are very funny. Proverbs in chapter 12 verse 27. Laziness, very amazing. A lot of Christians have been taught and wired to be lazy towards spiritual things. We wired people to be lazy towards Bible study in the church. It's in the church. Some put up a post this week, how that people go for functions, go for events, and they are not checking their time. They check their time accidentally, maybe 2, 3, 4 hours into the event, and then they discover time has gone. The average person steps into church, and by the time we start preaching, the first thing on his mind is to check the time. We have encouraged an attitude of laziness. Glory to God. An attitude of laziness. We have a structure of teaching people that does not encourage diligence. People are in church just staring at you, whiling away time. Glory to God. Do you know why we insist that people should write? I have some articles on, you know, the importance of note taking. I'm going to forward them to the group for you to read. Do you know why we insist on people writing? According to one source, writing or taking notes while you listen is what translates passive learning or listening into active learning. In other words, you could be here like this, as I'm talking. You could be here and your mind is at Ikeja City Mall. Praise God. Yeah. You could be here and your mind is at the quarrel you had with your landlord before you came to church this morning. Your mind is gone. But you cannot be writing and at the same time be thinking of something else. Do you know that when you write, your mind is saying it? Have you noticed? When you write something, your mind is saying what you are writing. So it's focused learning. Hallelujah. So if you do that for 2 hours, that means for 2 hours, there's no distraction, there's no, you know, your mind wandering about. You are saying what you are writing. That's what will pass through your mind throughout the time of teaching. That's why we insist on it. It's a major way to learn. So we have encouraged laziness, and it has to come to an end for you as a Christian. Proverbs 12:27. Hallelujah. Are we all there? Proverbs 12:27. The lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting. But diligence is man's precious possession. Imagine, he goes out to the field to hunt. He gets the prey or the bushmeat or anything, and then comes back home. And to roast it is a problem. Hallelujah. To roast it is a problem. This one is not even that crazy. This is crazy, but not that crazy. Let's see. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. That is, the lazy man is an expert at desiring things, but he will not do anything. As I'm going, I should just see $2 billion. Praise God. Who will drop it there? You know, and I've said this before, spiritual growth is to be desired in the sense of pursuing it. The desire is not wish. I just wish I would grow. I just wish I should just grow. No. So the lazy man is an expert at desiring things. Always desiring. But he will not do anything. Glory be to God. And it's a bad attitude. Proverbs 19:24. Glory to God. Proverbs 19:24. Look at this one. This one is amazing. I was shocked when I saw it. Some years back, I was shocked. Are there people like this? Or is this just an exaggeration? This man must have seen, you know, Proverbs is based on general observation. Proverbs is based on what? General observation. What you have noticed and seen. That's how they form Proverbs. Okay, please. Find a nose guard or mouse guard for that child. Hallelujah. Proverbs 19:24. Are we all here? Let's read together. A lazy man does what? Buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. It's like an exaggeration. Imagine, but it's depicting laziness to show you how people can get so terribly lazy. Put his hand in the food to eat and he's there. The truth is, it is not an exaggeration. I've seen people like that before. Praise God. In fact, I just remembered. Some people get tired eating. They put the spoon like this, and they are there for a few minutes, contemplating whether to lift it or to put it there. It's laziness. Hallelujah. Proverbs 21:25. Proverbs 21:25. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. His hands refuse to labor, so his desires will kill him. Hallelujah. He's always desire. I told you, he's an expert at desiring, but he will not do anything. Proverbs 24:30-34. This is like the same. Proverbs 24:30-34. Okay. I went to the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding, and there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on and received instruction. Verse 33, let's all read together. A little sleep, a little what? Slumber, a little folding of the hand to rest, so shall your what? Poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an arm robber. Praise God. Laziness. And he says, a little sleep, a little slumber, and then things deteriorate so badly. This is a proverb for, you know, how people can come into serious poverty because of their attitude. And then you can also look at how people become immature in their walk with God and become just there. No growth, no progress. It's because of that folding of hand and not doing what you are meant to do. The mind of the man is so unrenewed. His mind cluttered with all kinds of strange thoughts. Spider webs. Hallelujah. You know, some folks, their minds are so dusty. You have to cleanse it. You have to take it away. You have to. There's a lot of work and decluttering that is meant to be done. Final one. Proverbs 26:14-15. Proverbs 26:14-15. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 26:14-15. I think there's one we have not read. Okay, let's see. Proverbs 26:14-15. Okay, that's it. As a dog turns its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. You know, has that happened to you before? Be truthful. You were just rolling on your bed, and you could not get out. If it has happened to you before, let me see your hand. So according to this text, you were what? Laziness. For some, maybe they were sick, tired, any other thing, but this is a regular routine or a regular feature in the life of a lazy person. Hallelujah. So you find it, that is, in other words, saying he finds it difficult to get out of bed to go and walk, to do something productive with his life or with his time. Look at verse 15. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. You see that this man must have seen it. He's saying it again. Buries his hand into the bowl, and it wearies him, or wearies him, to bring it back to his mouth. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 16. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than several men who can answer sensibly. In all his laziness, he still thinks he's so wise. Glory to God. And he will be dabbling into matters. You have not studied. You have not, but you will dabble into things. He's wiser than every other person. So the lazy man is proud. Hallelujah. Let's keep right. So, let's write. The opposite of laziness is diligence. Let's write. The opposite of laziness is diligence. You know, we saw that at Proverbs 12:27. The lazy man will be this, but the diligent, the hand of the diligent will rule. Or diligence is man's precious possessions. So, diligence is the opposite of laziness. It's either you are lazy in the study of God's word, or you are what? Diligent. It's either you are lazy in the things of the spirit, or you are diligent. There are no middle paths. There's no middle paths. There's no sitting on the fence. You are either lazy or diligent. Glory to God. And what is diligence? Diligence, let's write. Diligence means to be determined. Diligence means to be determined. It means to be eager. Diligence means to be determined, to be eager, and decisive. And decisive. Hallelujah. Have you ever said to yourself, I'm going to wake up so time every day, study my Bible, and all? Have you said that to yourself before? Most Christians I know have done that. Did you follow through? What will make you follow through? Diligence. Hallelujah. New Year resolution. This year. From January 1, you know, it's from January 1, people start breaking the resolution. Because we start the year with merriment, you know. So the thing you said you were going to do, by the time you woke up to pounded yam. And then by the time you were done eating, they said, let's go and check in. You went to play. So from that day, all the resolution shatters. Hallelujah. And by day 2, you know, because it's a habit. You've entered the new year with the old habit. So there's nothing new. Praise God. So diligence is the opposite of laziness. It's either a man is lazy or a man is what? Diligent. Look at these verses of the Bible. 2 Corinthians 8:22. See commendations for diligence and towards diligence in the epistles. Let's start from Romans. Romans 12:11. Diligence. For some of you, I've been marking your notes and my assessment has been lazy. Lazy. Glory to God. Lazy. You are lazy. Pastor, there's no time. And by the time I assess how you spend your day, we discover, before I'm done, you say, I have time actually. Praise God. Because you have time. The problem was lack of commitment. So there's time. Glory to God. Romans 12 and verse 11. See commendations for and commendations towards diligence in the Bible. Romans 12 verse 11. Are we all there? Let's all read together. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, the KJV says not lagging in business. It's the same. The word business there is diligence. It's not talking about earthly business. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So how does a man become fervent? By not lagging in what? Diligence. So you have to be committed. It's an attitude. Let me even say this to you. Diligence is not a fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. It is not what? A fruit of the Spirit. You don't say the reason why I'm not diligent is because I'm not filled with the Spirit. No. In fact, you have to be diligent in being filled with the Spirit. So that's why men could be zealous outside the knowledge of Christ, outside faith. That's why Paul spoke about the Israelites. Though they were lacking in knowledge, they were not lacking in zeal. That's why Paul himself was zealous before meeting Jesus. You know, what happened to Paul was that he just channeled his energy and efforts towards the right course when he met Jesus. But it's the same attitude. The man had always been very zealous. I labored more than they all by the grace of God. Before he got born again, he labored more than they all in persecuting the saints. Are you aware? He wanted to go and collect letters to even go to foreign cities. Nobody was that zealous. Man was following people all around. Passion, zeal, diligence, commitment. I read the story of, how many of us know Stribe Mayusiwa, the founder of Econet? You know, I follow him on Facebook. So, one of those days, he wrote an article on how that when he met the gospel, he met Jesus. I think it was a day he just followed his wife to church, decided to give it a try, entered the church. And then the pastor made an altar call after preaching. And he was convinced in his spirit, in his heart, that, you know, Jesus is the Lord. So he went out, gave his life or received Christ. And then the Bible, the pastor gave him a small Gideon Bible. No, a full Bible. And said, endeavor to read this every day. So he got back to his house, and from that day, he said he just followed that simple advice. Every day he just began to read. And the first 21 days, he read through the Bible, a new convert. Why was he able to do that? Because he had been reading business books, reading, you know, marketing books, reading. The man is a reader. Someone like Bill Gates now, they said, there was a particular year, he read a book every day. So for 365 days, he read 365 books. Hallelujah. Would that be the testimony of somebody who, when he opens the book like this, his sleeping tablet? Some people cannot open their eyes for 5 minutes to read. He was the one that opened the book. And as he opens it, closes his eyes, you wake him up. Emoji, are you not reading? I'm reading. I was meditating. Praise God. Because the man was a reader, it was easy for him to read the entire Bible, a new convert. Yet we have people who have been Christians for 5, 10, 20 years who have not read through the Bible. In fact, some have not read through one of the books of the Bible. Some people have not read through Philemon. Or Jude. Hallelujah. Jude is so long. Somebody came to my Facebook one day. He said, all this article, all these verses you quoted, you should have just referenced them so people can check them. No need writing it out. You are elongating the post. I said, will they go and check it when they read it? Yes. Why can't I put it here? The truth is they will not check. It's part of the people that just read references and move away. You know, Facebook post is so long. Hebrews 13, the writer of Hebrews, he says, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written in few words, 13 chapters. Hallelujah. that means the writer of Hebrews could post that on Facebook. Because for him, it's a short exhortation. That's one of the biggest books of the New Testament. So you see, there's laziness and there's diligence. You have to choose one. And I'm saying to you that diligence is not an in Christ reality. You don't have to know Jesus to be diligent. It is an attitude you learn and practice. You condition your mind and your life to be that of a diligent person. Glory to God. So not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So the only way to be fervent in spirit in your service to Christ is to not lag in what? In diligence. Glory to God. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:22. Some of you, this is the only thing wrong in your life right now. Laziness. Hallelujah. And you know, a lazy man just enjoys pleasure. It is not that he doesn't do anything. He does every other thing apart from when it comes to work. Glory to God. When it comes to work. You go for holiday or vacation. You know, when we were younger then, we used to go for vacation holidays. But it was cut short in a particular season. When myself and my brother went out to visit one of our aunties. So, we got to our house, we were crazily pampered. Crazily pampered. I know he remembers, we were eating the kind of things, crazily pampered. Took us to supermarket every day, routine. What Cartoon Network. That was the first time I saw Cartoon Network. So when we got back home, in fact, we were going home. They had given us a color television because we had a black and white. So, you know those television that you have to use Lucozade wrapper to see colored. You put it on it. It now shows color. It's just one color. Everybody. So, they now gave us color television. We got home. You know, my daddy was worried. What did they tell this woman to have given, for her to have given us color television? He didn't complain. Alright, you know, they went. So, day one, we're back in the house. And then, normal way we used to eat in our own house. Myself, you were there. There's something you would have eaten this morning. You know, we're just complaining about all those things. If it was in Antigua's house, they would have taken us for the morning. My dad said, don't worry. That's the last time you are going anywhere for vacation. Praise God. So the lazy man just enjoys pleasure. He cannot walk. Amen. When there's merriment, the man's countenance is bright. It's bright. Active. Praise God. So yeah, everything, man is enjoying himself. So let's go and wash the plates. The plates we used to eat. Praise God. It looks sick. Hallelujah. It begins to not feel fine. For some ladies, I'm seeing my period. Because you know, the moment you say that, it's an escape route. All kinds of excuses. The man enjoys merriment, pleasure. You know, one of the things Paul says will characterize the last days is how that men will be lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. And I told you, we have wired people in the church to not embrace diligence and you know, a passion to study and to work. Praise God. Are you with me, guys? That all kinds of work actually gets to a point where you are feeling bored. All kinds of work. Yes. Do you know why? Because you are depleting energy. You are losing energy as you work. Do you know that when you eat, you are refueling? So you rest a while. There's more strength. So anything that depletes energy, it just bores people. Wears them out. But you see, it's in those labors you are actually going to find progress. But you know, in pleasure, your mind is being scintillated. A lot of things, you know, appealing to you. Though your energy is going, you won't really know. So at the end of the day, you still burn the energy, but pleasures. So what has the church done? We have gone to look for all those fun-filled activities, pleasurable things, to make church very lively, so that people don't know when time has gone. We are deceiving people. Hallelujah. Somebody just come and dance. I said, hey, the same people that are dancing, just say, open your Bible. I've been to places to preach where I first had to first talk to them about the need for us to study God's word. Hallelujah. Immediately. I've gone for concerts. That's why when concert is done in the church and there's no emphasis on study and prayer, it's a lie. People are just enjoying Gbedu. Praise God. Concert. And I got up the stage to preach. As I was preaching like this, I just looked up. Nobody had the Bible. Very strange. Including the pastor that invited me. Where are your Bibles? Raising phone. No notepad. Nothing. So I began to talk about the need. We have to be serious in a church. Then it got to a point. 15 minutes into my sermon, So I began to round off. It's not my church. Praise God. I finished. I went back. The moment I went down, somebody came with saxophone. So we have another rendition. Everybody again. God. Goats. That's no sheep. All of them excited again. We have another person. They were dead till 7 or 8 p.m. in the night. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 4 tells us that in the last days, men will not endure sound doctrine. But they will put for themselves teachers according to their own itching ears, the lust of their hearts. Glory to God. Let's have Jesse Sunday. Do you know all those things, they seem harmless. But the reason why we are bringing up all those things is because people are bored. We are not giving them the right things. Study is not emphasized. So we want to make church lively every Sunday. There's a need to innovate every Sunday. There's a need to make it look different. Hallelujah. It's funny. Diligence is what gets the job done. You have to be committed to it. Glory be to God. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, 22. We've said this over and over and over again. And you can see the effect all over the body of Christ. People who are lovers of fun and funfair and amusement and pleasures will not make progress in the faith. You can't stay all night studying God's word if you have not been taught that way in church. Do you get what I'm saying? If we have not prayed well in church, is it you that will not have prayer vigil? You can't have prayer vigil. So the same thing we have given you in church is what you give your time to when you are away. Comedy, movies, wrestling, praise God. All kinds of fun activities. 2 Corinthians 8:22. Look at what Paul says here. It's a commendation for a certain brother. 2 Corinthians 8:22. Commendation for a certain man in the church. Are we all there? 2 Corinthians 8, 22. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have often, what? Proved diligent in many things. But now much more diligent because of the great confidence which we have in you. The man has been proved to be diligent in many things. He's a committed brother. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. You know the word study. At 2 Timothy 2:15, it's not study as by reading your book. No. It's the word that means diligence. 2 Timothy, the man of God is encouraged or exhorted to be diligent. Hallelujah. To be diligent. 2 Timothy 2:15, are we all there? Or let's just quote. Study to what? Show yourself approved, a workman. That needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. So write in your note. Teaching God's word requires diligence. Teaching God's word requires diligence. Teaching the word of God requires diligence. The NKJV says, be diligent to make yourself approved. That's it.
Be diligent.
So, you see the word disciple, does it sound like discipline? they are like discipline, diligence, their study. So, teaching God's word requires diligence. Rightly dividing the word of truth, is a product of making every effort to know.
Glory to God.
Let's see 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 and 10. 2 Peter 1, 5 and 10. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know, I've seen people run away from Bible study. Run to places where there is none. Or very little. 5 years after, they are still on the same spots, the same complaints. They say, you know, I don't know how to deal with these habits. But you are running from the work that destroys all these things. So you always come back to that same spot until you put in the work. You know, it's just like in business. If you don't labor, there's no money, you know. So you can complain for 10 years. There's no money. There's no inflow. And all around you, people are making money. All around you, people are getting more committed, diligent, more creative, innovative, and making money. But you are saying there's no money. Until you change your attitude. Such is the journey of spiritual growth. You can keep complaining, I'm not growing, I'm not making, until you embrace the work required. Hallelujah. You know, when salvation is concerned, Jesus paid the price. Do we understand? When spiritual growth is concerned, who pays the price? It's you. So, you know, some people will say, there's a price to pay. People will say, which price to pay? Jesus paid it. There's a context. Hallelujah. There's a price to pay for your spiritual growth. Diligence. Commitment. A daily culture of study and prayer. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. Hallelujah. Men who have matured in the things of God are people who have paid the price for their spiritual growth. They paid the price for their spiritual growth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Can we all read together? 2 Peter 1, 5. Can we all read together? But also for this very reason, doing what? Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. What are you meant to give? All diligence. You know, the preceding verses already show you how that you've been given all that pertains to life and godliness. Now this, Jesus already did his part. When it comes to having life, when it comes to the supply of salvation, all that you need for life and godliness is divine nature. You know, you have the indwelling spirit. Glory to God. You have God's righteousness. You have God's nature. You have all. In fact, if you look at verse 2, or verse 1, it says, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. You have God's righteousness. But how about bearing fruits of righteousness? Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what it's now saying. So, it's saying, in view of this largesse of God, in view of all that God has furnished and supplied you with, you must give all diligence to produce in your faith all these things. Godliness. Brotherly kindness, love, perseverance, diligence. So there's no, guys, there's nothing like, I'm a Christian, I'm just growing. Growth does not happen because of length of time. It's by what you are doing with the time. So it's not, I've been a Christian for 5 years. That means, by now, you got to the elder. Praise God. In church, you know, like Pastor was teaching Eternal Shepherd, he said, in some places, elders are people who have been in the church for a long time. But that's not eldership in the body of Christ. An elder is one because of his commitment to God's word. Commitment to growth. He has matured. He's a spiritual man in his commitment to the things of the spirit. Hallelujah. He has become spiritual. He is no longer carnal. He's not a babe. Glory to God. That's what we're saying. So he says to give all. All that is, let all effort be targeted towards growth. Glory be to God. You know that we gave recommended teachings. Some people, the mistake we made was to say, even if it's just 1 hour. Some people, for the past 4 weeks now, it's down 1 hour. You are not serious. Praise God. What do you, I mean, sometimes people have opportunities to listen for 2 hours, but because they say, even if it's not, you just condition, you are so complacent. There's a need to make all efforts. Hallelujah. There are days, if you are so committed, there are days you do 2 hours, you will still find 1 hour extra in the night to do it. Because your mind is there. Glory to God. So it's not about this attitude of, I'll just do 30 minutes every day. No, it's an upward progressive life. Where you are making efforts to get better in your commitment. Glory to God. So, I mean, don't confine yourself. 1 hour, 30 minutes, 45, I can't go back. Who told you you cannot? This is the same person that goes to work 8 hours every day and cannot do more than 1 hour of studying God's word. How? Hallelujah. Commitment. Look at Hebrews 11:6. Diligence. Diligence. Look up everybody. Your life is in your hand as much as it is in God's hand. The decisions you are going to take are the things that will shape your life till you die. Don't ever assume you are not in control. Hey, I don't know how I will do today. No. You choose what to do with today. You choose how today should be. Glory to God. Is there anybody in your house that is going to arrest you if you say, I want to have vigil into the night, Friday, just listening to God's word? I'm not sure there will be anybody to come and persecute you or harass you. But have you made such an effort before? It's a decision. You know, ask my brother here. When I met the word, 2007, I started a journey of commitment, diligence. I go back to Lagos, I went to buy commentaries. Got new Bibles, NIV, NLT, Message Translation or Paraphrase, and I had NKJV. I invested in my spiritual growth. I got them. In the night, you see me with candle. I'm reading and studying. People just celebrate progress. I like the way the man explains scriptures. See, there is work involved. Hallelujah. And knowledge affects all of us the same way. That's why everybody can go to law school and come out as lawyers. You don't say, there are some people who are gifted to be. No, they will train you to be a lawyer if you follow the knowledge. If you receive it well. You can be a doctor. We can turn you into anything. Hallelujah. Sometimes, when there's a war confronting a nation, and they don't have soldiers, you know what they do? They pick any random person. They just pick Jerry. Come here. I cannot fight. Come here. You fight. And you know what? They will train you. By the time you come back, you're a fighter. Knowledge. You know, when God made man, he didn't give him any particular talent. And my own talent is playing football. No, it's because you were around people playing football. The ability God gave man is the ability to do anything he proposes to us. You know what God said to them at the Tower of Babel? He says, these guys are one. Anything they decide to do, they will do it. Praise God. So it's just ability. Whatever you want to aspire onto, you can. That's why you went to school to study one course and today you are doing something else. You chose to change your line of career. So knowledge affects all of us the same way. If you commit to God's word like you should, it will have the same impact. Glory to God. You won't be standing in awe of any man. The man can quote, the man can teach, the man... No! Leave the clan or the tribe of those who are always hailing people for preaching well. You can preach well. Hallelujah. You can handle God's word with such maturity and dexterity because of the way you gave yourself to his study. That's what we are saying. So the limitations in our lives are things we have chosen by ourselves, by our attitudes. You've embraced that limitation. You put a limitation on your life to say, I will make progress beyond this. Commit. Hallelujah. Be diligent and your life will change. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11:6. After this teaching on spiritual maturity, don't let it go to waste. Everything we have said in this series, if you practice it to the letter, your life will change. No, yesterday I was listening to Staying Full of the Spirit, and I'm like, the instructions that even came in this teaching alone, if people have been faithfully following it, Some people's lives will have changed. So Hebrews 11, 6. Are we out there? Let's all read. But without faith, it is impossible to what? Please him. For he who comes to God must what? Believe that he is. And that he is what? A rewarder of those who what? Who diligently seek him. Underline diligently. 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 Does that spell out effort? A need to do something. Working hard. Hallelujah. Don't follow those who just give counsels like, you don't need to work hard, you need to work smart. Please, my brother, that thing does not exist. Work hard and work smart. Hallelujah. It's both. There's nothing like just working smart. You must work hard. Hallelujah. That's what is called labor. Diligence. That's not working smart, though. You say, some billionaires in this world, they are working smart. Their money is just working for. If you go and visit them, you will die. If you try to emulate their some of those guys don't sleep like you do. He's a billionaire. He says his money is just working for him. You will be shocked. The man is a hard worker. Hallelujah. Some of them on their bed, you see book. Hard work. 6 hours sleep or 5 hours sleep, 4 hours sleep, a little siesta during the day, and they are working hard. You see, some of them have these eye bags because of diligence, work. So there's nothing like that. That's why when you make progress in your career and you are aspiring to be maybe CEO or MD one day, and you eventually become that, it's not a place of rest. You've not entered into your rest. Praise God. That's more work. That's when you understand the proverb, uneasy lies the head that wears the crown. Have you seen all these our governors and presidents? In Nigeria where they are not really working. Have you seen them? The moment they enter that office, gray hair. See, he's just chopping money. He's not just chopping money. They are not working as they should, though, you know, but they are working. I remember Fashola saying before he became governor, for 1 year they met every day, 4 a.m. every morning. And did not leave office till 7 p.m. Having meetings concerning what they would do when they come into power. Imagine that. So, you know, some of the things we applaud as his achievement in Lagos, that means they did some things. They worked. There is hard work. And it's also encouraged towards spiritual things. And we must not be found lagging in diligence. Glory to God. Number two. So that's for laziness. So make up your mind to not be a lazy Christian. Make up your mind to be a diligent believer. Diligent in the study of God's word. Diligent in your receiving. Diligent. And not be lazy. Number two, distractions. Mark chapter 4 verse 18 to 19. Distractions. Hallelujah. Distractions. Mark 4 18 to 19. Are we all there? Bible says, now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So, they hear the word, but what happens to them? The cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and desires for other things enters and chokes the seed of the word. Let's write. The word cares, as used here, is the Greek word merimna. The word cares, as used here, is the Greek word merimna. That is spelled M-E-R-I-M-N-A. The word cares, as used here, is the Greek word merimna. M-E-R-I-M-N-A. Which means worry, anxiety, or concern. Which means worry, anxiety, or concern. Which means worry, anxiety, or concern. Through the idea of distraction. Through the idea of distraction. That is the reason why the mind of the person is anxious and worried and in perplexity is because his mind is distracted. He's focusing on the wrong things. And the wrong things in this context, you know, are the deceitfulness of riches, desires for other things. Glory to God. So let's write. So he is distracted. He is distracted by the deceitfulness of riches. He is distracted by the deceitfulness of riches. And lust for other things. He is distracted by the deceitfulness of riches and lust for other things. So that means, listen, that means wealth or riches, money, as a kind of deceit. You know, money promises men fulfillment. That once you have it, I mean, no issues. Some even say, for instance, in Yoruba, people say, Olowo Seun Gbogbo Tan. Some would say that, Ohun Towo Ba Sete, Ile Lo Ngbe. You know, all those kind of adages or proverbs. That money is the answer to everything. In the church, we even teach, out of context, money answers all things. Which was not what Solomon was saying. Solomon was talking about a need to prepare for feast, wine, prepare food and wine. He now says money answers to these things. Hallelujah. That's what money answers. Money does not answer all things. The context is those things. Glory to God. So, it has a deceit that the more you have it, the more you are secure. Bible says wisdom is a defense, Proverbs, and wealth is also a defense. It says, but the excellence of wisdom is that it gives life to those who have it. So wealth promises security. Hallelujah. But in the real sense, if you become a billionaire today, your freedom is gone to an extent. You know the way you strolled into church this morning? You can't do it. You can't do it. Especially in Nigeria. You cannot do it. And people know you, that you're a billionaire. You cannot do it. Praise God. The moment you enter this street, some people will block your car. And if you don't tell Omole, they will tell Omole. Praise God. Something will go. They know you're a billionaire, you enter this church. Even we are not safe. We have to issue a disclaimer. He doesn't come here with money. He doesn't bring money around though. His car is empty. You know, because we are inviting trouble. Hallelujah. Now, if the man of God now says, I don't know why I'm pointing at Jerry. You want to be a billionaire? Is that a prophecy? Hallelujah. Now, if the man of God now eventually says, Pastor, see, I want to be worshiping here. No, don't worry, I'll bring soldiers and mopos and kinekon to be guarding the church so that there will be no issues. You know, would I agree with him? Praise God. We'll not say, if the Lord watches over the city, if the Lord does not watch over the city, they watch in vain, those who watch it. Are you aware they are watching? That's what he was saying is that it is beyond the watchmen. The watchmen should watch. Amen. It's the same way he says, the horses are prepared for the day of battle. But the battle is of who? It doesn't mean you go to battle without horses and spears. He says it belongs to the Lord. All of you are dead. I'm going to miss the Lord. Praise God. So, if he says we'll bring soldiers and we'll accept it. Praise God. In fact, after he is going, we say, leave some for the rest of us to take us home. Hallelujah. You know that when they were ambushing to kill Paul in Book of Acts, and they told him, man of God, we are going to give you, they gave him more soldiers to follow him. Paul didn't say, no, power of God forever. Praise God. He said, it's a welcome development. Let's go to fight those who are on the way. Praise God. So your liberty will be lost in a way and many things. It doesn't mean you can't be wealthy. It just means, you know, you have more concerns. More concerns. More things to worry about. Imagine having an industry that, you know, has maybe 100 trucks in Lagos or Nigeria. And then you just get a news that a truck has caught fire on the Ibadan Expressway. Your mind will quickly go there. It may not be your truck. Your mind is going there. Our truck, I hope. And then before you are thinking of, well, truck, it's just truck. What about, hey, I hope people did not die. You know, you need to go to the court. A lot of cases. It's not the man that killed anybody. It's his company vehicle. But he has cases there. Piled up. Are you scared of being rich? Praise God. Well, you should. Hallelujah. So that when you eventually have money, you know you need more commitment to spiritual things. That's when people relax. The more money you have, the more troubles. And so you need to be more committed to those things. So, cares of life, deceitfulness of riches. Riches has a deceit. So, that's the reason why people don't stay with the word in pursuit of money. Hallelujah. Lust for other things. Let's write. Let's write. So I said, it's distracted by deceitfulness of riches and lust for other things. This is why the same person that has no time for the word of God, this is why the same person that has no time for the word of God will immediately create time for an opportunity to make money. This is why the same person that has no time for the word of God will immediately create time for an opportunity to make more money. Hallelujah. Immediately. There's time. Some people on their WhatsApp status, busy, can't talk. Just send a message and say, can you deliver kiniko, profit is 5M. Busy, can't talk. From busy, can't talk. He will talk with you from morning to night. The problem in the world is that people, you know, at Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, don't care about all these things. For after these things, the Gentiles seek the ungodly. That is the pursuit. Hallelujah. Life, money, wealth, making it, success. That's the very thing that distracts people from committing to God's word. So, see, until as a Christian you purge yourself of that stuff and God's word becomes your priority. It's not first about money. As we speak, money is still the priority of many Christians. In fact, before you land and you say, it's not about money, you say, Pastor, it's about money too. I've had such conversations with people, believers. See, it's not about money. It's about, Pastor, it's about money too. The man cannot even take the counsel. Hallelujah. He's so obsessed with money. Glory to God. Obsessed with money. Money is still the priority of many Christians. And that's the reason why they don't have time for God's word. Hallelujah. You know, all the self-development is really for what? I just want to give back to the society. What are they giving you? Praise God. What are you giving back to them? I'm studying all these courses. Why are you studying all? You want to contribute to the society? I have heard you. After you are done contributing and they don't pay you, would you be glad? Would you be motivated to continue to contribute? At the back of every commitment, eventually, you have a desire for more. If it is not more money, it's more recognition. More fame. You want to imprint your name on the sands of time. They say people who die and they've done so much in the world, they are immortals because they are never forgotten. See, I give you 3 years. Hallelujah. Unless they have a memorial day, especially for you. Even that memorial day, the first one, everybody is on it. Ah, man, he lived indeed. Second one, he died indeed. Fourth one, he's gone. Time flies. Praise God. You are gone. But if people are weary, I feel like mentioning some days that have faded. It faded away. Memorial. Forget. Hallelujah. Okay, you are immortal. Do you know that all the people celebrating you now will one day die? If they don't commit that legacy to their children, the immortality is gone. So at the back of every desire, self-development, what are you studying now? I just want to improve on my web design. I want to improve on web development. I want to be a data manager or scientist, anything. There's a desire for making more money, more recognition, fame, and all that. You know, John sums it all up beautifully. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. He says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is what? The pride of, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and what? And these are not. You see those things he mentioned. He's not saying that all that is in the world as far is just lust. No, that is the motivation behind all that is done. Glory to God. All. That's why you will not be content if you are a very good person in your field and you are not getting recognition. It won't satisfy you. No. You are in an organization, you were the one that wrote the presentation, somebody else presented it, they clapped for the person. You are sad. Praise God. You know, your effort has just gone to waste. Have you not seen people fight over such things before? I'm the one that did the most work. On Twitter, somebody wrote and said, where are all those people who were leaders of their platoons during NYC? So somebody now came and said, somebody posted how that from being a leader in a platoon is now doing well and all that. So somebody else now came and said, forget all these stunts. I also was a leader in my platoon. In fact, I single-handedly took my platoon to Kinikon stage. Somebody now came and said, that's the problem. You single-handedly did it. Praise God. Who sent you? A platoon is a team. But that's the problem with you. You now single-handedly took them. The man is just looking for recognition. Fame. Hallelujah. So at the end of the day, deceitfulness of riches, lust for other things, is the major thing that makes people not have time. That's why the same person that does not have time now suddenly creates time when there's an opportunity for more wealth, more recognition, fame. There's time. Hallelujah. There's suddenly time. Can you model? I'm not a model. It's just face model. Ah, wow, glory to God. Ah, man. In contacting prayer for no real, praise God. And then they say, this is what it entails. You are not going to sleep for many days. You are going to only, small food. Do you get it? You have to be in shape. And the food, we are going to, it's not normal food, though. We just cut some vegetables, some grass. And then, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ. Praise God. That strengthens me. You go and do it. Because there's more money. Hallelujah. More money. Somebody in this church at some point said he was going for good, that ultimate search. I said, do you know the stress that thing entails? In this church. Many years, but it's not TSK church. Many years. He said, he knows the stress. I said, can you go through the stress? He said, he will go through it. This is somebody I know does not have zero commitment to learning God's word. He wants to go for ultimate search. Not to search the scriptures. To search for something. He will search it. He will sweat. He will almost die. He likes it. Let's search the scriptures, brother. I'm tired. But you want to go and do ultimate search. Is that the ultimate search? Hallelujah. I'm asking a question. Is that the ultimate search? You better come and search the scriptures. Glory to God. God. This is the ultimate search. Hallelujah. Some people have died in their ultimate search. Just die. What about people who don't even commit to God's word, but they are so passionate about prayer? People climb hills to go and pray. But a man climbed the hill and fell. And it's a sad story because he died. Another one climbed the hill and was beaten by a scorpion. You left your house to go and, bro, let's study the Bible. You don't have time, but you have energy for climbing hills. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Too bad. Misplaced priorities. Hallelujah. Distractions. I'm talking about distractions. What about social media today? How many of you are managing your time on social media? Do you know these days, it is harder to be committed to anything if you are obsessed with social media. Very hard. You spend time. It just goes. Hallelujah. For me, how do I take charge of this social media distraction? I put away my phone for myself when it's time to study. So that means I have another device for listening. Now, if I don't have any other device, I switch off my data. Someone says, hey, what if they want to call you? What if they want to call you? What if I was sleeping? Has it occurred to you before that you could be sleeping and they are calling you and you don't pick it till you wake up? Yes. What, see, this world is moving and moving on. With or without you. Whatever information wants to come to you that is important, when you are done studying, it will still come to you. Okay, you have not been putting it away. How many contracts have you gotten now? You know, we just have unnecessary excuses. Something that will not miss you. See, if it's a serious contract, it will stay. They will call you back. We miss people's calls. People miss our calls. Hallelujah. If you are sick, you will not be thinking of calls. Call Bawo. It's how to get well. You give somebody this call, take it away. Who is calling me? Until more time, it's afternoon, no? But because you are not well, you feel that no, nobody should call you now. So if it's important to you, you put your device away. In the church meeting like this, you know, I'm not even here with any of my phones. It's already a culture and tradition. I come to church, no phone. And if I ever step in with a phone, it's on silence, it's on airplane mode. Nothing distracts me when I'm in the gathering of the saints. Hey, what if they want to come? What did they know you came to church? Hallelujah. We have to manage distractions. I woke up to this reality when I assessed my life at a point when there was no smartphone with me, and a point where I began to use smartphones. I came up to a realization that I lived a more productive life in those days. That was the reason why I began to put my phone away from me to do things. My life was more productive. Back then what I had with me was Nokia 3310. No, one Nokia touchlight phone. And I could go and say, I want to have a retreat and I'll pray all day. I will study the Bible and I'll have it successfully. Suddenly BlackBerry came, you know, and to stay and sustain that culture became difficult. One day, just in the place of prayer, it just came to me that, do you know the problem now is social media? The problem now is that you have a smartphone. Wow. Really? I did not realize. And the moment I began to put my phone away, I had a better commitment. So until I'm done, I'm not going back to it. Do you know that you don't know how much you're addicted to it until you start? You just discover your mind has gone to it. A sign of addiction is that you wake up in the morning, the first thing you pick is your phone. And then you're on Facebook. From Facebook, Twitter. You've not brushed too. Praise God. And that might be the reason why you will not brush your teeth all through the day. That might be the reason why you will not do any other thing productive until you are told to come to a workplace or a work site and all that. Something compels you to come out. But you taking charge of your life is beyond somebody saying you must come to work and all that. It's you doing meaningful and productive things with your time. Being in charge and in control of your life. Hallelujah. Social media. You have to watch it. I use social media like I use my leisure time. In fact, most of my time on social media these days, I just go and post, check notifications, check a few things that have been said, check my inbox and escape. It's been a while that I have found myself on many people's pages, on many people's walls. I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do. We can also learn from people. So I just check a few pages, priority, and I leave. Because you can be there. Do you know what it's called? I do chattering. You're just there, checking everything. Things that concern you, that does not concern you. Lori Iro, Lori Ododo, Lori Iro. Everything, you're just following every trend. Hallelujah. And you know, it gives you a false impression you are making progress. But is that really progress? Hallelujah. You need to deal with obsession with social media. Your phone, put it away. Don't say, you see, if you notice that you cannot put it on airplane mode and follow through, that means it's time to start putting it away. Get a smaller phone that can be with you for listening or anything. Put it away till you gain mastery And you have destroyed that addiction to social media. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus and his apostles did not have that. So it's something peculiar to our own generation. And it's a major form of distraction today. Listen, it is not just affecting the church. It's even affecting families. Hallelujah. And you know, they've done a lot of research and surveys to see how relationships are losing value for one another because of their obsession with social media. You step into a family, everybody is on phone. Nobody is interacting. They are all just on phone chatting with strangers. You know? You know, sometimes I go, I think last month I went to check my in-laws. And as I was about to enter, I said, just put your phone in your pocket. You know, because you could be there with them chatting. Quality time is lost. Friends are no longer communicating. They will meet themselves like this. They will be chatting with other people. And then leave themselves to chat with themselves. Do you understand? It's just a funny approach to living that social media is promoting. Glory to God. So we have to deliberately deal with those things and cut off excesses and plan your social media time usage. There are applications for it where once you are done with your time, estimated time for social media for that day, shut you out of everything and you cannot enter. Of course, you have control over the application. So you can, after that, you can uninstall it. But you can be disciplined. It locks you out of every other platform that you're interacting on so that you can focus on important things in your life. Lastly, or second to last thing, idleness. You know, today is about hindrances to growth. We still have a note from last week that we're going to continue from next week or 2 weeks' time because I won't be here on Sunday. So, excuses. Excuses. Luke chapter 9. No. Excuses. The last one was idleness. So I discovered I had skipped excuses. Huh? No. I already said procrastination assists laziness. No. Procrastination is when you say, I'll do it later. So it's like a fruit of it. So excuses. Luke 9. 59-62. Luke 9:59-62. Glory to God. Alright, get up everybody. Stretch. Get up everybody. Stretch. Stretch your body. Yeah, stretch. Okay. Stretch well. Alright, stretch. Praise God. You know, they even say you shouldn't sit for too long without getting up to stretch and all that. So, I think we've been here for over 1 hour. So let's sit again. Alright. So excuses. Luke chapter 9, verse 59 to 62. Luke 9:59-62. Are we all there? Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Guys, is this excuse a legitimate one? It is. I'm going to bury my father. It is. Last respect. And then Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. You go and preach the kingdom. Hallelujah. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Let me go and send forth party. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Glory be to God. Let's write. The excuses are always legitimate. Or let's say are mostly legitimate. Most times they are legitimate. Good excuses. I mean, I've been hearing some of the excuses in the last few weeks now. My work. Say, where do you go to work? I get to work 7. So I get to work 8. When do you come back? Come back around 6, sometimes around 7. Okay. At work, can you squeeze out time to do these things? It's so tight. Okay. So, but when do you get home? When do you finally get to sleep? I sleep around 8:39. Too much time. Praise God. Why should you sleep 8:30? If your work does not allow you have time until 8, you are not part of people that should be going to bed by 8. Your own going to bed should be around 10. so you can study. Glory to God. Excuses. They are oftentimes legitimate. But as we have seen in Jesus' response, they are oftentimes legitimate. But as we have seen in Jesus' response, as we have seen in Jesus' response, they were all met. As we have seen in Jesus' response, they were all met with a need to prioritize commitment to the kingdom. They were all met with a need to prioritize commitment to the kingdom. Hallelujah. So there are oftentimes legitimate excuses. But Jesus did not spare those excuses. Jesus did not even sound like they were legitimate. He just showed them a need to prioritize commitment to God's kingdom. Because in the absolute sense, excuses are not tenable before God. Hallelujah. They're not tenable. So last one, idleness. 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 Let's write. This is also like laziness. This is also like laziness. Only that it is like the fruit of it. It's like laziness, only that it is like the fruit of it. This is also like laziness, only that it is like the fruit of it. Idleness. Like the fruit of it. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Idleness, this is also like laziness, only that it's like the fruit of it. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 13. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 5, 13. Okay, sorry. Yeah, 1 Timothy 5, 13. Are we there? Let me start from verse 11. But refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanting against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith, and besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. So you see that the idleness is not void of activity. Praise God. So in their idleness, they are giving over to other things. So let's write. The word idle is the Greek word agos. The word idle is the Greek word agos. A-R-G-O-S. We've seen this before. The word idle is the Greek word agos. A-R-G-O-S. Which means inactive. Inactive. It also means to be unemployed. Konishe. And they say somebody, Batonishe. You know, that's why he's minding other people's business. So, unemployed, inactive. But this inactivity leads to other irrelevant activities. This inactivity leads to other irrelevant activities. Glory to God. You know, there's such a thing as redeeming the time because the days are evil. Taking time and using it well. So, listen, that means you will not be entirely without activity. You'll never be entirely without activities. The moment you are found inactive and you are doing nothing, there will be a desire to do other things. It will just be that those activities you now give yourself to will not be productive. They won't add up to your life eventually. Amen. Even in the natural, now, spiritual things too. So, the moment a man is idle, the moment you catch yourself idle, you are doing nothing. It's not like you are resting, sleeping, you are just idle, you are just there. See, other activities are about to set in. Irrelevant things. That's the reason why some people just pick their phones. Amen. It's idleness. Because he has nothing he's doing. Just picks his phone and chat for the next 3 hours. 2 hours. And by the time you check the time, it's gone. Because you were not productively engaged with anything. So, idleness leads to irrelevant activities. So look at this once. Idleness, from there to entering into different people's houses, gossiping, discussing, and you know, most times, they'll be talking about the church, talking about brethren in the church, because this was in the Christian community, gisting about the church, irrelevances, gossips, wandering about. Amen. Some people just like to take a stroll at every opportunity. You want to stroll. The man just strolls. Where are you going? I'm just strolling. You meet him again in the afternoon. Where are you going now? I'm strolling. He's always strolling. Hallelujah. He's always strolling. And I've said it before, that such people, when they meet you, your destination becomes their destination. Yeah, where are you going? I'm just strolling. So where are you going? I want to go and buy food. Let's go together. He meets another person going to KFC. Let's go together. They are without direction. Hallelujah. Till they lead them as a sheep to the slaughter. Man has no direction. A stroller. Praise God. I hope we don't have strollers here. I used to see Shea. He's always walking. But he has a destination. Praise God. One day I was in the supermarket. I just saw him. I said, this man, I'm walking. The first time I said, you should go and show me his house. I almost died. Just said, hey, he's not far. We just follow. This guy, very wicked. See, he's not far. We just go. So that day, I put on my application for measuring steps. Go to and fro. It's 4,000 steps. Place that is not far. It's not far. We're not going. If we got to a place where we climbed hill. See, am I lying? Hill. I said, would you say this place is not far? He said, it's not far. Pastor, it's not far. But if you can take back, you can take, praise God. From that day, I just said, it's to be careful who to follow to go and know how so. Hallelujah. Very careful. So first ask, where do you live? Is he motorable? Is he? Hallelujah. Just joking. But then, you know, so idleness, it just bets all kinds of irrelevant activities. So we have to guard against it. And I'm saying to you, some of you, the reason why you spend more time than necessary with your phone is idleness. You were not really engaged with anything productive. There was just time on your hands. Hallelujah. Just time. So because there was time on your hands, you began to do anything that came your way. Glory to God. Do you know you are meant to plan to see movies? Do you know that? Yes. You're meant to plan to see movies. Not that you just watch a movie. Another one. Is there another one? Is there another one? Who is this? You know, that's how some people see movie. Is there another one? Put another one. If I, the days of cases, then you just keep slotting it. You are idle. If you say today I'm going to see a movie, tomorrow I'll see another one, or next tomorrow, you should plan it. If you check my system, this one, they used to laugh at me. You check my system, sometimes you see a movie that has been paused for the past 2 weeks. I want to watch it. That's why it's paused. So I'll keep watching it again till I'm done. When I'm done, I'll move on to another one. Some people just watch everything. You see a poor review on it. That movie, they said it's hyped. I'll still see it. You're not finished watching it. It's really hyped. It's just hyped. You too, you're hyped. The man is hyped too. Praise God. It's a terrible attitude. And these are hindrances to spiritual growth. Glory to God. So we have to combat it. You remove all these things from your life and you see yourself making progress like you should. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So next week we're going to come back to, you know, where we stopped last week to see how this mindset of discipleship shaping the life of the early church. It's shaping how they did ministry. It's shaping the ministry of the men that were set over them. There was a way they taught. Hallelujah. There was a way they taught. And that brought about the right results in the lives of people. Glory to God. Share with your neighbor what you learned. 5 minutes, and we close. What is the Greek word for Timothy? Timotheos. Hallelujah. Alright, let's rise to our feet and pray as we close. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for the word. The word is working. Alright, let's just pray a while. Let's pray a while, everybody. Let's just pray a while. Get into prayer quickly. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Don't be quiet. Pray. Claro stali. Libro non igeni. Nedi dele grani noni ada. Santa la fran. Magratisas. Evita. Frane delia. Sed frate tetero. Dono subri. Oh Jesus. Sukra. Tama grandi. Descati. Libro non igeni. Nedi dele. Make sure you are praying. Wherever you are. Make sure you are praying. Fragata la gara. Hagamata. Hagamata. Libro non igeni. Nedi dele. Nedi dele. Nedi dele. I will not be silent. I will always worship you. As long as I am breathing, I will always worship you. I will not be silent. I will not be silent. I will always worship. Oh, as long as I'm breathing, as long as I will always worship you. This is my worship, is my worship, all of my worship. This is my worship, all of me. Is my worship. Oh, this is my worship. Here is my worship. All of my worship. All of my worship. Here is my worship. Here is my worship. All of my worship. Go ahead and pray. Holy Ghost, cause you love me, and I love you. Say da 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 Hallelujah. Listen, everyone. I've said this before. Let me say it again. Many times, as believers, people waste the edification that comes from the word. The first thing to do when you hear God's word is to pray. Hallelujah. That is the first thing to do, to respond to God's word. Don't pray when the impact of the message has gone. So you use the edification immediately for prayer. So let's begin to pray. This is not a time to look around. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. Let's just pray. You have enough strength to pray. That's what the word does. But if you have an attitude of, I want to just go. Let's just go. You will not pray. You have enough strength to pray now. The word of God has put you in a place to pray. Your mind has been nourished and edified, strengthened for prayer. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray. That's the attitude. Shada lupe tuska te katala delius. Pray the beke tuska fra fra di katalata. Jesus. Chalos katele jira Yes, Lord. Go ahead and pray. Jesus, thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You see, we have to discern these things well. We have to discern it well. The knowledge of God's word is not like every other knowledge. It's not secular knowledge. You know, when you receive secular information, it promotes the growth or progress in that stuff, in that direction. When you listen to something that has to do with a particular thing, it channels your energy to that direction. You are strengthened and informed for that stuff. God's word, as we hear God speak to us in his word, it nourishes our minds and empowers us to speak to him. Hallelujah. You must discern it well. Even in your private place. I said this. That's the difference between those who hear God's word and pray all day and some who just listen and just go. You are wasting the edification. Enjoy prayer. The moment you feed on God's word, your mind is already nourished to pray. You'll be fruitful in prayer. Glory to God. So you have to discern it. Don't waste it. The moment I'm done listening to God, I just start praying. No matter what I'm doing, whether I'm going to a place, whether I'm going to visit somebody, I just maintain a culture of prayer all day. Staying full of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And then I sing spiritual songs. How many of you have seen songs playing in your hearts? Songs just play spontaneously. It's because your mind is now in a good space, in a good state. You are now, your mind is now spiritual, as it were, renewed. So it's the things of the Spirit that will be flowing from it. And when it flows like that, you don't keep it silent, you don't shut it off, you respond to it. When a song plays in your heart, begin to sing. Hallelujah. Begin to sing. From singing, you talk in tongues. Just stay in the flow all day. Listen, guys. There's something about walking with God. Many seem to be acting as though, let me just listen to the Bible. And when I listen to the Bible, no, follow me. Hallelujah. We're walking with God through the day. God's word is the starting point, nourishing us for that walk. Hallelujah. Walking with God. I'm enjoying God. I'm speaking to him. He's speaking to me. I'm his friend. He's my friend. Hallelujah. That's the attitude. It's not mere routine. It's not some rituals. I'm walking with the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm walking with the Lord. The Bible says Abraham walked with God. Hallelujah. Enoch walked with God. There's something called a walk with God. That is what we have been called into. Hallelujah. We have a walk with God. So I'm not distracted by the noise around me. I'm focused on these things. I feed my mind so I can pray all through the day. The idea is, think of yourself as having your friend with you. Won't you gist seamlessly? You know? You don't say, we've been gisting, how's it talk? No, you just keep communicating and talking because you're enjoying the relationship. That's how to walk in this relationship with God. See yourself as a man that has been befriended by God. Hallelujah. God is my friend. He's my father. I am his friend. So I pray all through the day. I stay conscious of him. I stay full of the Spirit. Glory to God. Let's pray one more time as we close. Pray, come on. play, come on. And carry this culture and attitude away from this place. Don't listen to God's word in your privacy and let it end there. No, it should promote prayer. On your way to work, you are praying, doing business with the Father. It's a consciousness. You are deliberate about it. You are diligent. Walk with God. That's the essence of these things, guys. That's the essence of study. That's the essence of looking into the Word of God. That's what it means to walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is walking with the Lord. It's the same. Conscious. There is a relationship. Jesus, there's a walk with the Lord. Let us walk with the Lord. That is the essence of the study. That we might know as we ought to know, so we can follow as we ought to follow. Men of the Spirit. Men conscious of the Father. Do you know, listen. Do you know in the Old Testament, the tag or the phrase, man of God, was used for men who had a walk with the Lord. When they say a man is a man of God, in those days, they were talking about men who were walking with God. In the New Testament, all of God's children are referred to as men of God for that reason. Hallelujah. Say you're a man of God. It requires a duty, an attitude. I'm in a relationship with God. Hallelujah. I know God. Do you know God? Yeah, I know God. God knows me. And because of that, I have a walking relationship every day. Glory to God. Does your Father speak to you? Yes. God speaks to me. My life is not being lived accidentally. God instructs me. He tells me what to do. Glory to God. He tells me what to do. I'm not out of tune. I'm not out of tune with the Father. I discern His will per time. Because I know Him, He knows me. Hallelujah. I'm walking with Him. God forbid I will go and be visiting seers or a prophet to tell me how my life should go. God forbid. I have the Spirit of God within me. I'm led of God's Spirit. I mean, says once you were astray, you've gone astray, but now you have returned to the bishop and overseer of your souls. There is nothing God wants to tell you for your life that He cannot tell you now. The only barrier and limitation is in your own relationship. For this reason, James says, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. You know, you can explain that away. Hey, draw near. Are we not already in Him? No, He's talking about your mind. Hallelujah. There's a drawing near. There's a desire to follow and to walk with the Lord. That's where you know the things you need to know. It's been over 13 years last that I heard God from somebody else concerning my life. I'm led of God. Hallelujah. And it is not a benefit for some. It is the privilege of all the children of God. Whatever I tell you concerning your life should be a confirmation of what God has told you. Because God is not hiding anything from you. But believers get so dull. They get so dull and disconnected in their minds because they are not practicing intimacy every day. They are not practicing a walk with the Father. That's why you are so distant. You are not hearing anything. The only thing loud in your mind is confusion. No. How can you, the light of this world, be confused? Glory to God. How can you be lacking direction? If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally. Guys, it's a call to walk with the Lord in the light of His word. Hallelujah. We take His word so it can strengthen us in this journey of walking with Him. That's what we've been called into. Our relationship is not with a book. The book enlightens and educates us concerning that relationship. Our relationship is with a person. Glory to God. So after I'm done studying, I get busy engaging and interacting with this person in the light of His word. That's the mindset. So I don't study and say, I've done today. No. There's a God to relate with. Hallelujah. After after the studying, I have to pray. I have to pray. Open up my mind to the leading of spirit. Open up my mind to be sensitive to what God will say to me and what God will lead me in. That's the attitude that works. Let's pray one more time. Let's pray one more time. Take these things to heart and practice it. Nobody is going to force you. We are only here as helpers of your faith, saying the same things over and over and over and over again. There is a walk with the Lord. There's a walk with the Lord. There's a walk with the Lord. It can get so bad. It can get so bad. You are so malnourished. You even start doubting if there's a God. It can get so bad. There's a walk with the Lord. There is a walk with the Lord. There's a walk with the Lord. There's a walk with the Lord. There's a walk with the Lord. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory sheds on our way. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. When we do His good will, He abides with us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's have a seat. Trust and obey.
Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus.
But trust and obey.
Trust and obey.
Trust and obey. Let's give our offerings.
Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Trust and obey.
Trust and obey.
Give our offerings.
No,
we are following online also. You can
to see. Be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Trust and obey.
Trust and obey.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. There's no other way to be happy, satisfied, fulfilled than the path of trust and obedience. Hallelujah. Now, worshiping with us for the first time, Sunday morning into the afternoon, I'd like to see you wherever you are.
We love you with the love of God. We are holy preachers. Jesus Christ the Lord. We are TSK. And we love you with the love of God. We are boldly representing Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ the Lord.
Hallelujah. Okay. No first timer. Thank you. Thank you very much. Praise God. Alright, recommended teaching for the week. Kerygma. Go and listen to, we're listening to Kerygma. Apart from that, when I come back from Jos, praise God, we shall commence a Bible study course. Hallelujah. 120 sessions. Hallelujah. So, you know, it's going to be 120 sessions of teaching. So we have it in groups of 30 days, every day. The way we've been listening in our houses, it's not coming to church. So 30 days. So this is how it will go. 120 sessions, 30 days, first time, 1 month, we go another 30 days. We go back to the first 30 days. Then we go to the fourth one, or the third one. Then we go to the second one again. Then we go to the fourth one, and go back to the third one, and go back to the fourth one. So it will not end till next year. Praise God. Alright, praise God. You will know the essence by the time we are done. Glory to God. So, but get ready for times of listening, and writing, and learning, and praying. Glory to God. Our lives will not remain the same again. You know, I went back to manifestation of spirit. I started listening again and I wondered, did I listen to this message? That's how fleeting the mind is. Praise God. The things you thought you've known, you wonder, go back again. And you learn afresh. Glory to God. Apart from getting to learn some things the first time, no. It puts you in the right state. You know, it's like eating rice every day. Would it make you grow? Yeah. You don't say, I've eaten rice yesterday, why are we eating rice again? Eat it again. Is it nourishing? It will get the job done. Hallelujah. So we are going to have qualitative listening. Our lives will change. Glory to God. Glory to God. Alright, so let's rise to our feet as we close the meeting. I also want to say that, see, the prayer meetings that are going on daily, it's an urgent call for us to come and pray. Make yourself available. Urgent. Make yourself available. We are praying for the task. We are praying. We are praying. And then as we pray, we'll be led of God's Spirit. It's an urgent call. So endeavor to make yourself available. The turnout has been quite very low. You can join in. Let's come and pray. 1 week till we are back. Glory to God. So we are interceding and supplicating for the work ahead. You know, it's not when I traveled to Ilife, for instance, I didn't say the church should pray. I've gone for ministry. I've gone to preach. But this one, it just came out, you know, as a matter of urgency. And men should stand in the gap praying. See, we're back. Hallelujah. So let's endeavor to come together as one family and supplicate together. Pray about your week. What you want to see? What you want to see? My week turns out fruitful. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Every mishap is cancelled by the power of God's Spirit. In the name of Jesus. No injuries, no accidents. By the power of God's Spirit. Yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Safety is ours. Safety is ours. In a land where there's insecurities. In a country where there's insecurities, safety is ours. Safety is ours. We are kept against all odds by the power of God's Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I see a rescue, a domestic accident. I see a rescue, a domestic accident. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Thank you, Father. A domestic accident averted by the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, yes, it's done. Thank you, Jesus. We hallow your name. We give you all the praise. You are God. You are God. You are the Lord of Lords. Heaven and earth bows before Him. Angels bow before you. Demons also tremble at your feet. You are the living God. You are our God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you because you are with us, for us, walking in and through us. Thank God for His Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. All right, meeting is closed. Let's have a family song.